Oh, what a glorious weekend it has been in the Bronx. It's the KJ Show, your Sunday delight, and probably a depression for others. But thank you so much for being here. 617-779-7937. This is just going to be an absolutely fun day talking about the first three games of this Red Sox series. So let's get out of the conversation that the Red Sox have already won this series. They take their heart once again. Now, think about it. Last time this happened, it was like, yeah, they took their heart and got rid of Raffy. Now they're going to take their heart, and I hope that Aaron Boone gets fired. Wouldn't that be so dreamy? Just seeing him just absolutely go, because all of that privilege, all that suckiness in New York is coming to a head like a teenager's pimple. And I'm here for every moment. So that's Thursday night. Roman Anthony showing off. This is what happens when you put a little league porch in a major league ballpark. This is where I say, you know what? This is how Anthony thrives. This is how Yoshida gets his mojo back. These are these things because of that short porch in New York. I mean, even Trevor Story's pretty much line drive pop fly to right yesterday is a home run. Like, the Yankees have walked into a situation where they buy all these things and those things can't do the easy thing where they are. Like, if I'm the Yankees, I would corner the market on every single left-handed power bat in the world. I wouldn't have I'd have Judge and the lefties. That's what it would be. But because their manager is so incompetent, I mean, this guy, I asked this. Why are we so hard on Cora when he's delivered a championship and Aaron Boone just spits out sunflower seeds? Like, Is this series not proven to you that if you give Alex Cora just basic things and a kitchen and some basic utensils, he'll put a meal together? Aaron Boone can be laid out a full steak dinner, 7-course meal, and still get it wrong. I mean, look, Aaron Boone, okay, look, they've been in the postseason and just virtually done nothing. 400 winning percentage. 556, 571, 0, 333, 571 last year when the Yankees won the pennant. Now you say, well, you know, the Red Sox haven't been there as often. Oh, yeah, 2018, 786, you win the World Series. Like that, like you get the job done right away. 545 in the 2021 year, which you were kind of like, hey, they made a run to the ALCS and everybody was shocked. Well, Kyle Schwarber probably wasn't shocked. I mean, it even gave Kyle Schwarber life that might get him to the Hall of Fame. But I say that to say this. In this time and place of where we're having these conversations about privilege and who's earned what and who deserves to be what, can we now agree that Aaron Boone is the face of privilege that sucks? I mean, like, sucks! Sucks!
Can you?
The bullpen? Like, okay, so let me get back to I'm just going to paint this picture of just how bad it is in New York and how I would love for not only a sweep to happen, but for Aaron Boone to be fired. He needs to be fired. You're like, KJ, this is Boston. Why are you talking about it? Because there needs to be shown an example that just because you have all the tools, you don't need to stick around. And it probably props up Alex Cora more in the conversation that he needs to be part of when it comes to, you know, in terms of managers in this league. So let's go to Friday night, where this is just a really, really tight game. Like, you wouldn't expect a tight game. And here comes Trevor Story.
Trevor Story swings to the first pitch, drives it deep to right field. Goodbye! Trevor Story into the seats in right.
So you literally have Trevor Story. You have a rookie. Maybe Roman Anthony really is the rookie of the year. Like, I think when you get down to these last days, he's going to be playing in meaningful games. Your guy out in Sacramento is going to just be thinking like, you know, are we moving to Vegas or not, Father? But hurts. But Roman Anthony's probably going to be in the rookie of the year. So night one, the Yankees, who have been on a roll recently, they've struggled, but they kind of picked things up. Night one, they get beat by a rookie. Night two, they get beat by Trevor Story, who's really, I mean, look, I mean, if there was like a Rocky 10, Trevor Story would need to be somewhere in there just because of this comeback that this guy's had. And then the beauty of yesterday. Not only was it crochet day, but what happened at the top of the ninth inning, I think solidifies my entire point about enough is enough about all this Yankee love. Nobody cares. They're not really that good. Their manager got his job because of one moment against two folks, the Red Sox. In fact, Bucky Dent even got a managerial job for one moment, and Bucky Dent couldn't even manage a pack of gum. What do you think Aaron Boone is? So here's the top of the ninth yesterday as it came to a crescendo end.
Slider drilled high and deep into left field. This thing has carry. It is back. It is gone. Adios, Carlitos. The Red Sox lift off.
You hear all those Red Sox fans still sticking around to stick it to them? Or a former Yankee who they feel, he's got nothing to offer. Stick it to him. Wouldn't you love to see the Red Sox not only sweep today, but have all this New York chit-chat. Chit-chat. We got a sister station, the Fan in New York. I'll be honest with you. You should be joining me with the pitchforks. Get rid of the bum. Because real managerial happenings are happening in this series. Like, what you're seeing from Alex Cora, if Alex Cora had a grocery bag of groceries to identify this team, maybe Bregman is the steak. Maybe Story was the beans going into the season. Everything else is just like, man, how do we fill ourselves up? I mean, even the other day when Garrett Whitlock came in, it made Giancarlo Stanton look so bad on that final swing. Thomas Crucifilli here, my producer. I don't know if you saw. Did you see how it felt like Giancarlo Stanton just gave up?
I did not get the chance to watch yesterday.
It's kind of beauty in motion that's happening right now. And I will be proud to stand here next to Beacon Hill and be the first one to say, get rid of that sorry-ass manager you got in New York. He's horrible. Horrible. Jeez. He's got six more losses in the postseason. More than that. 15 more postseason losses than Alex Cora. Now you can say, well, Alex Cora only won a couple of times. What's worse? Going all the time, and it, for old heads, and for those of you who have wives that, you know, that you've been married for a while, they used to watch soap operas. It's called the Susan Lucci, which is you always get nominated, but you never win. I forgot what soap opera she was on. But if Aaron Boone was the manager in Boston right now, do you think the conversation would be any different? And maybe we need to start giving Alex Cora a little more of his flowers, huh? Like, have you seen what this guy's been working with in the kitchen for the last several years? You give up your best player. Management doesn't get you really anything in return. Like, think about it. When Jordan Hicks gets in the game yesterday, you're thinking like, well, clearly he can't blow an 11-run lead. This is not exactly what we're talking about, a high-leverage situation guy just yet. But on the cusp of sweeping the Yankees again, one, give Alex Cora his flowers. Now, I know this is still a season, and things can still happen during the course of the season. I really don't hope that this ends up being the high point going down the road because, again, I don't think the Sox are going to have any problems with the Yankees or even once they see the Blue Jays. I think that it's just they're going to just see them too late. But, yeah. The Sox are they are the team, and if they see the Yankees, to play, I just seriously believe that the Yankees will miss the wild card. So either fire Aaron Boone now, or do it once Seattle laps you, someone else comes running out of the pack. It's fun to watch. All right, we'll get into more Red Sox here shortly. But I do have to say this, and it's thank you. For those who listen to this KJ show, get up on a Sunday morning, there's kind of this energy that we have between us, right? I'm not going to deny it. I mean, look, of all the times I've tried to like girls before, I know what rejection looks like. Plus, I work in this industry. It's full of rejection. But you also recognize acceptance, right? And last week, I talked about getting prepared for the Jimmy Fund. And these are things that you weren't hearing, but I made sure that you knew. And the biggest thing was that there was a new text number to donate. And I had Tommy Freeze pops on. And because he was double dipping, because he was appearing on the station a couple times last Sunday, I said, are you going to be double donating? Stuff like that and everything. But we had a lot of light fun, but still got, I thought, was the most important message I could have gotten out last week of everything, was letting you know that there was a new text number. But what I also did tell you that you were going to do was that you were going to surpass last year's number. So, Thomas, I'm going to tell you some behind-the-scenes stuff that happened after I got off the air. So I went to go visit a friend of mine, and I was talking about the energy that I could feel on the air last Sunday between the listener, myself, okay? Sometimes it can't be quantified. Everybody's not going to phone call. Everybody's not going to text. Sometimes they're just going to listen, right? And so I said to him, I said, Rick, that's his name. I said, Rick, I said, in my spirit, as crazy as this seems, I believe the Jimmy Fund's going to raise $6 million. I said, bro, this is going to get to $6 million. It was 3.9 last year. I said, it's going to get to $6 million. He's like, really? I said, yeah. I said, I have this energy and feeling that it got across. And so you came in at $5.7 million. So all I can do is say thank you for the energy exchanged, for providing the change that more than jingles, but also folds, you know?
Yes!
So what you did in raising $5.7 million for the Jimmy Fund means so much more to me on a personal level with personal things going on in my life. I'm not telling you that I have a diagnosis or anything like that. I don't want to paint that picture. I'm just talking about from a performance art standpoint. Is we spoke it into existence and it became even greater. And that's because of you. And because of you, thank you. All right, 617-779-7937, still to come. I think I know who might be the rat that Mike Vrabel is talking about giving out information. But now it's time to trend with Thomas Crisafilli. Led by a great man, the Yankees? KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Thank you for starting your Sunday here and also for spreading the word. Remember, if you missed any of the show, you only get like a couple hours to do it. The Odyssey app, free, type in WEEI and you can rewind the function. It'll be here for the day. I joke about that and then it gets edited out. I don't know. I didn't realize I was saying some things that's just like, oh. KJ, shut the hell up. But Alex Cora being very humble, but you know, underneath his jersey, you know, once you get down to like the t-shirt, like the special t-shirt you wear from your kid as a lucky t-shirt, you're giggling inside. You're like, the Yankees are given everything they want. Here we are in the wintertime. We are begging like peasants. Please, sir, if you could just get us another starter, we would be okay. Sir, please. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, please.
Oh.
Yet somehow this guy still makes it work. Still makes it work. But the Yankees. Yeah, you talk about the Yankees, talk about the Lakers, talk about the Cowboys. Do you realize all of them suck? They all pretty much are bad for what they offer up. Text line 617-779-7937. Thomas, what you got?
We got a 617 text, KJ. They agree with you.
What?
Yeah, I know, shocking.
Right.
I agree, KJ. Why does Aaron Boone get a pass, but we are so hard on Alex Cora?
Yeah, probably maybe only one, two. I'm just trying to think of the cities where every game, every baseball game, all 162 are hyper-analyzed. And I really just come down to Boston, New York. And so because we look at everything from such a micro lens, needs. I think sometimes when you have to pull out and look at the bigger picture of it, you know, people still hold on. Like, I think maybe one of the polls that was put up yesterday, tied with the station, was, you know, who was the biggest villain to the Yankee, to the Red Sox? Was it A-Rod or Aaron Boone or Bucky Dent? And it's kind of interesting. Bucky Dent got quite a few votes in a non-digital age. Like, Bucky Dent stopped playing before, like, DVDs were in the home, right? So, but the A-Rod one is interesting just because obviously how things turned out and how that just by the flip of one switch, his name wouldn't even have been on that list because A-Rod was supposed to come to Red Sox. But for me, it's Aaron Boone. And the reason why I say this is because he is literally like the TikTok manager of today, right? He had one viral video and suddenly he's making a living. He's not Jake Paul. He's Logan Paul. Like, at least Jake Paul became like something decent in wrestling. Like, Logan Paul, you're like, okay, bro, like, you know, your 2.6 minutes of fame are up. And it's the same thing with Aaron Boone. But yet, you know, we will jump down Alex Cora's neck over really some piecemeal pieces that he gets handed to him. Like, I still think about when we're watching the San Diego series, I was thinking, damn, how'd I get all the relievers? How'd I get all the relievers? And we're just begging to get like either a starting pitcher or another reliever that can help. You know, like, I mean, shout to Garrett Whitlock. I mean, this guy's, you know, just kind of formulating himself into what he's going to be. And what the conversation was a couple years ago, you're like, hey, you know, what? Like, maybe one of these future starters is like, hey, bro, thank you for being here. You know, it's like doing the KJ show. It's like, it stops you from hearing like bad infomercials at 8 a.m. on one of the most important sports stations in the world. You know, they're talking about a bake sale in Los Angeles on my favorite Boston station. Like, what the hell is going on? So, yes. Alex Cora deserves much more credit for doing more with less. And Aaron Boone needs to be chastised even more for doing less with more. So let's get to yesterday's game. Cause that's, I mean, you know what? I might, when I get off the air, I think maybe I'll go watch, you know, Sox in 2 again, just to see 12 runs scored and hear those Yankee fans absolutely lose their minds over what occurred. Garrett Crochet has been the savior. Like, just call it what it is. When you lost out on Max Fried, and maybe there was some kind of like, you know, three-card Monty going on about how much you were really willing to pay for Juan Soto, because at the end of the day, if you never had to pay Juan Soto, did you really expect to pay him that much? So you lose out on Max Fried, and that's allegedly who you were going after. Word was that you were looking at Snell, and Snell got locked up early. So when you get Crochet, you're like, for me, okay, great. This is someone Breslow got to see up close when Breslow was part of the Cubs organization. So he's going to know a little bit more at the ground level of what's going on or what's not going on with this pitcher. And targeted him and got him signed for almost nothing. So you're like, okay, this has been amazing. And look, if Sox make the run, I think it feeds into Crochet, Cy Young, Roman Anthony, Rookie of the Year, you know. Trevor Story, Comeback Player of the Year. Like, you keep winning, these things start to become part. It has to become part of the narrative. It has to. Here's Cora on Crochet's performance yesterday.
Does it feel like you're just running out of things to say about Crochet and just the way he's performed?
Oh, man. It's every 5 days. That's we needed that, and the front office executed in Dallas, and then obviously the contract. Just gives you security, right? And the other guys are following suit. Like I said yesterday, Bayo, he feels that way. Gio has been amazing, May. So, but it starts with him. He sets the tempo at 8 a.m. all the way till now, you know. And it's just great to have him here.
8 a.m. Hey, good morning, Garrett Crochet. Thank you for listening to the KJ Show, and you as well. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. We're about 20 minutes away from detective work here by KJ and Thomas Crucifilli, who will be my assistant in discovering who is the rat that Vrabel was inferring to. That's coming in about 20 minutes. But Thomas, let me pull you in for a second, because I have to ask you a straight up question, because Did I know what Alex Cora was going to say on that cut?
No, you haven't heard any of the cuts.
I haven't heard the cut, but literally what I said and then called for the cut is exactly what I had said. Am I wrong, Thomas?
You're not wrong, KJ.
I am not wrong. Like I know it's a Sunday, and I wish I had a gospel organ here to kind of give you a little bit of church music, but I don't want to get hokey that way, but I do have a testimony to share with you before we get out of here. But absolutely. If it wasn't for Crochet, what would you hang your head on? Like, you know what it was the last couple of years? It's like, oh, man, you know, Chris Sale looked good in Worcester. Broke a TV, had a little velocity when he knocked the TV down, you know. Now you're like, okay, when this guy, and we're going to come away with our different favorite Crochet games at the end of the season, because I really believe that this team is on a run that's going to start having the conversation that I've been screaming from the hills about, is that Major League Baseball is always better when the Red Sox are good. Because when the Red Sox are in the conversation, that means the Yankees have to be in the conversation somehow, good or bad. Right? That's what such pisses me off about this Aaron Boone situation, is you're literally giving pretty much, you know, the Paris Hilton of Major League Baseball managers free roam without really doing anything. I ain't done anything. You know, it's not what I paid for. But here with Cora, oh my goodness. This guy's pretty much almost paid for it with blood, sweat, and tears. I don't think Alex Cora's cried about any of this. Trust me. You know, I don't think, no. But with Crochet, it's like there's this hope. And my favorite Crochet start this year, you know which one it's going to be? And it's going to shock you. Thomas, are you ready to be shocked?
Which one? I have an idea, but I feel like you're going to throw me for a wild
idea. Tell me just to see if we're telepathically there. I know glass separates us, but this is not East and West Berlin.
When he went the full game, full nine.
Impressive, but not my favorite. My favorite is the one against the Nationals. You remember the rain delay showed up? And when the rain delay usually when a rain delay shows up, once it gets past, I think that rain delay was like 18 to 20 minutes. You kind of start thinking about maybe we bring in the bullpen. But at the time, you're like, oh, don't you dare bring in that damn bullpen, please. This is Crochet Day. So when he comes back into the game, if you remember this Washington game after the rain delay, there's a little bit of a struggle. He's going to a lot of long counts, fouled off tip balls. And I was like, okay, this is what they call this in psychology, the critical point. The critical point is you're driving down I-70 in Kansas, and suddenly you see this big mountain range start to pop up in your view. Oh, you might be 200-300 miles still away from the Rocky Mountains, but it's the critical point where you recognize those are the Rocky Mountains. I think the critical point with Cora and with Crochet this year and why it's going to such another level was putting him back in that game after that rain delay, and when he struggled a little bit, he didn't pull him. What happened? They end up sweeping that series. Things outside of a little, really this most recent, you know, kind of bump, that's really been kind of the bump in the road. You know, what they did against the Phillies, that's a Phillies team, you figure like, hey, they're going to be in the mix of things, and that Cubs series was a bit tough to watch. You know, but I think that's the moment where Crochet and Cora were like, you're my guy. For you, like, in some cultures, I can't say what the term is. You know, but it's very similar.
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you.
You're my Hulk Hogan, okay? That's the point where I think they became bonded to the point where I'm going to trust you in any given situation to be the best you to get the best out of us. That's managerial stuff. That is next level leadership stuff. That's going to be now, I'll tell you what would replace it is Crochet winning game four in a sweep in the World Series. You're like, okay, clearly that replaces the Nats one, but in terms of where we are right now, like even the complete game, I was like, that was bound to happen for a team that almost never saw complete games over the last several years. Never. And then I think the other part, and I think in fairness, the way this guy's handled everything, as things start to develop with this team, as the season goes along the line, I don't want to say we were wrong about Trevor Story. I would say for those who were patient, about Trevor Story. Kudos to you. There's very few of you, very few of us. But kudos to Alex Cora for sticking it out with Trevor Story through the injuries. Now, full disclosure, I do know that this is about injuries. But here's Alex Cora talking about sticking with Trevor Story.
I mean, it's very gratifying, you know, like I'm very happy for him. He worked so hard in the offseason to get to this point, to be able to pose and play at this level. He had a tough month of May, and he turned it around. He's one of the leaders of the team on and off the field, but he's playing elite baseball right now. Yeah, just driving in runs, running the bases well, playing great defense. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, it starts with doing the basics, right? When Trevor's... Like, here's the thing. During Trevor Story's struggles at the plate, there was no struggle with the glove. None. And maybe this is why when you get rid of Devers, they say, hey, if your glove is bad and your attitude's bad, you're gone. Like, oh, man, they got rid of his bat. Like, well, shoot, I better make sure my glove is on point, you know? And just, like I said, we went through the Kike Hernandez at short. One day we will forget that Rafaela at one point was being considered to be the next shortstop. I mean, do you understand how cherished Alex Cora should be? The patience that you have to have, the understanding that I think Bregman might be the one birthday gift that he's actually gotten since he's been here. Like, the stories and like they want Bregman, and that went on forever. But now, what do you hear them talking about in New York? We should have gone and got Bregman. You have great decision-making from the manager. You have young players who believe in what they can do. I would just take Rafael Saldana to the side and say, hey, I'm going to have you stand at this machine, right? And it's going to throw you 500 pitches and don't swing at any of them. Just to train them a little bit. Just a little bit. Get in your mind that the first pitch ain't always the best one. And once they start figuring this out, they're going to throw you the Ephus pitch and it's going to be a ground ball because they know you're going to swing. But these guys believe in themselves, right? You talk about Bregman's like kind of one of these leaders in the locker room, but actually, you know what it is? Is that these older guys who you're kind of like, okay, is Bregman really worth $40 million? I would say, yeah, this is where Breslow's smart. I still ain't putting anything on paper yet until I see everything. It just comes from me being in this industry. Entertainment, they're going to wait until they get everything out of you. Oh my gosh, this guy could do handstands. Wait until he finishes the handstand before you give him the contract. And then make him do 20 of those handstands and pay him less. But if that's what you've got to do, Bregman knows that he's got a home here. He knows that. Because while you don't know what's going to be the recovery period of May, obviously believe he's going to be back next year. But I'm just have to say this right now. The play of Story, you're like, well, we're not going to get rid of him because we already committed to paying him. It's almost kind of like cheaper to stay in the marriage than to try and get a divorce and hire lawyers and split up a house, you know. Thank God we rent, baby. Okay. And then the other part is, do you just let Bregman go and just let that be just something that just happened for 1 year? Is Mayer now the future second baseman? Maybe so. That's a possibility. But Cora has been able to put these different pieces together. Oh my goodness. I mean, this guy's, I don't know if you, like, I don't like baloney. And the reason why is because baloney kind of reminds me of like some poverty, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh gosh. So if someone says, hey, you want a baloney sandwich? I'm like, But what Alex Cora has done is turned an entire restaurant almost made of total baloney. Total. Young guys. A recovering guy who hasn't, Trevor Story has almost played twice as many, but by time he finishes the season, let's say Trevor Story finishes the season playing 150 games, getting 12 games off, but of course, no, he's out there every day. You know, he's almost doubling his total of games played over the last couple of years just by playing this full season. The patience level. I mean, remember the mess with Verdugo coming into work late? Like, bro, you play Major League Baseball. On these roads here, they will get out of your way. Well, actually, probably something like you know what? Maybe this guy doesn't need to get to the field the way he's been swinging. Cora has put up with a lot. A lot. And here he is. On the precipice of sweeping the Yankees again. And like I said, I'm calling for it. If the Yankees lose today, I'm gonna watch some New York television. Maybe do we bombard FAN today, fans? Do we do this? You know I call for stuff like this. Hell, if I can call for you to raise more money than Jimmy Fund than you did before and you did it, why not let's have some fun? Yankees sweep, the Yankees get swept today. Let's just start calling down to, you know, hey, Red Sox calling, fire Boone, he's a bum. Core for president, hang up. Troll. And that's what it's called, trolling. That's what it is. Doesn't that sound good, Thomas, today? Should we troll our sister station, WFAN, today? See, Yankees get swept.
I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum, KJ, because you're like, fire Boone, fire Boone. Keep him as long as the Yankees. No. Give him a lifetime contract. He's terrible.
No, because you know why? Someone even less competent would be in there. Think about it. Their bobblehead night was George Costanza laying down. That tells you that the organization's pretty much laid down. WFAN telephone number. Fire Boone. You should have hired Cora. Cora is better. Wish you had Cora, didn't you? Wish you had Cora, didn't you? What is their number here? Is it 718-937-1250? That might be it. I don't care if you're calling somebody's office. They'll be like, why are these people in Boston calling me? 888-808-1019. Yeah, 888-808-1019. Troll like crazy. I understand where you're coming from, Thomas. But I think you start to have a campaign of saying the Red Sox deserve to be in the conversation of good baseball teams this year. And sometimes you have to do it in these kind of I don't know, we might be in Gen Alpha at this point. Gen Alpha ways. Start trolling the fan, 888-808-1019. Let them have it. Why not? Let them know that your manager sucks. Thank you very much. In fact, somebody's like, actually, you know what? I want him fired if he was at my job, but because he's at your job, maybe you keep him because he sucks. Like, troll him. Troll him. Why not? All right, next. There's a rat in the Patriots organization? Uh-oh. The detectives, we put our hats on next here on the KJ Show on WEEI. Thanks for spending your Sunday here. Yeah. KJ Show, WEEI. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday with us. Full one, including the day that the Yankees get swept by the Red Sox. Again. First pitch here this afternoon. WEEI with the call, as you've known for a while. 617-779-7937. We're minutes away from the Mike Vrabel rats comment and a detective series in a couple of parts. Thomas, what do you have on the text line?
We have a 413 text, KJ. Pats and UNC both only winning 7 games this year.
I'll get into some Belichick and football talk. I'll tell you which one I agree with and which one I disagree. That's coming in 20 minutes. So, yeah. So, Pats, UNC, I got to talk a little bit about Belichick and everything. And it has nothing to do with his girlfriend because now we're getting to the meat of things. So that's in 20 minutes. We'll get into Patriots v. This is crazy. Like, the show sounds unprepared. That's on purpose, but is this not an overly prepared show, Thomas?
I promise you, it is not an underprepared show, KJ.
The idea is overprepare on the backside and sound like you're unprepared on the air, because if it sounds super prepared on the air, I am reading you a book report, and that is everything that I want to tell you. And you're like,
that's nasty.
It sucks, yeah. I mean, the show probably does suck, but at least it's entertaining. Well, the show doesn't suck. I mean,
pause.
Yeah. So, yeah, I prepared to talk about Belichick versus the Patriots in this Saturday versus Sunday watch window that's about to come. So you don't want to miss that conversation. That's coming in 20 minutes or less. Sounds like a pizza I'm delivering to you. One more text, and then we'll get into the Mike Vrabel snitching-ish.
From the 207, will the Sox re-sign Chapman and Bregman? Give me 3 more years of both.
Yeah, so Chapman, I think you probably do 2 years, right, where you have maybe a vested option in a third year just because he is so overperforming his index. When does he come down from that index and what does it look like? I would rather do that inside of a couple of years with the third year option, thinking that you could still get a couple of years out of him versus giving him 3 years and things going wrong in that third year and potentially trying to move him. With Bregman, yeah, I mean, look what he's doing, like what he's historically done in July, August, September, he is doing it now. So clearly the change of venue hasn't been the problem. So I think Bregman's going to want more than 3 years and deservedly so, because if I'm going to have this conversation with you about like the Red Sox need to be propped on this forefront of Major League Baseball, them selling the product, the Red Sox need to be in the middle of its marketing. Part of that means that you need to be relevant in July, September, and August. Well, what a way to put months in the wrong way. July, August, and September for those. You just see how my brain works. It doesn't sometimes. All right. Still to come, we'll get into this Patriots preseason last game and what it looks like going into the season and stuff like that. I don't put a whole lot of stock in it. However, I do put stock in Mike Vrabel's comments about the rats. Here it is.
No, I don't know. Other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from, you know, some of these rats around here. So we'll figure that out.
This is Get That Snitching exclusively on the KJ Show. Brought to you by the KJ Show on YouTube.
Oh.
Go to YouTube at Real KJ Show. That's YouTube at Real KJ Show. Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel is not thrilled that potential information is getting to the public without his knowledge. Getting to the bottom of the Jalen Polk shoulder questions, KJ Carson goes deep into snitching culture to try and help to get that snitching. Here's your social media detective, KJ.
All right, Thomas, my trusted detective assistant, fresh out of the academy. Did you bring my Boston cream pie donut?
I did not, but I got you a regular black coffee.
With no sugar or cream or anything? What do you
add it all? Ow. We have a station. We have a little, you know, spot at the station where you can add it all.
Okay. So, as one who's familiar with being associated with the no snitching culture, here are four few rules of engagement. Detective Chris Afuli and myself have a list of suspects. In fact, we've got, you know how you see in these movies, these pictures of suspects. Well, we can tell you immediately we're going to eliminate the suspect at the very top of the organization, as you see from the document I've shared with you, Detective Thomas. We're going to eliminate Mike Vrabel. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay, so Vrabel is not the one causing the ratting or snitching because he's the one that can give the information. So here are a couple of things you need to know about the no snitching culture to get to who the rat is, and the KJ Show will reveal who they believe the rat is by the time we are done. Number one, you might snitch if you feel like you've been butting heads with the people in charge. Again, you might snitch if you feel like you've been butting heads with the people in charge. So Thomas looked through the list and everything. I'm looking through the list. I think there are a couple people I might eliminate. Maybe I eliminate the defensive side people, maybe. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right, because you wouldn't butt heads, right?
It's the guy also who's a defensive player. The leaks about an offensive player, so.
Right. It's right. So, two, you might snitch if your income could drop tremendously if you don't play the game. So you know who I might eliminate right there? Jalen Polk. Right, because you're not on any type of guaranteed deal. Like, there's nothing guaranteed in this game. So why would you snitch if you believe that your income could drop tremendously if you don't play the game? And I'm not talking about in the game. I'm talking about playing the game. So I'm going to eliminate Jalen Polk as one of the snitchers or the potential rat. And keep in mind, you know,
of course I know how to spot a car.
Yeah, so, you know, someone who's on the inside. So trust Detective KJ, Detective Thomas Crucifilli, as we get to the bottom of this.
Oh, I was going to say, I know you're the vet here, KJ, and I'm just the new guy, but this did save him from getting cut, being on the injury list.
Oh, come on now. Like, you're questioning me? Like, come on.
She's a lawyer, so she knows.
He knows. Number three. Can I play that again?
She's a lawyer, so she knows.
So we can eliminate Rhode Island, right? I'm kidding. Three, you might snitch. You believe that you've been the scapegoat in a challenging situation. Again, you might snitch if you believe that you've been the scapegoat in a challenging situation. Scapegoat. I feel like we might be getting closer to who might see themselves as part of maybe a past potential problem. You're following, Thomas, huh?
I'm taking a good look at who I think it is.
Wake up and stop drinking all the damn coffee, because... I'm sorry. Don't go to HR on that, okay? I'm sorry. Don't go to HR. Five. Is there a new cultural influence?
No!
I did that again. Is there a new cultural influence potentially?
No!
Or is there? Again, a rat would have a desire to buck the new culture if there is one. And finally, are you known as a sympathetic ear? I'll tell you what, Thomas, we'll go through these clues and we come back next. We will solve who the rat is. Because KJ...
She's a lawyer, so she knows.
Yeah, he knows. On the KJ Show, snitching-ish returns on WEEI.